Have you ever thought about the health of your voice? The two concepts, voice and health, don't go together super intuitively for me, which is kind of interesting when you think about it because the voice is something created with the body, and we've all certainly had times when we lost our voice or noticed it behaving differently based on our environment, the situation we're in, how well we slept, how dry the room is, or other kinds of health we might be experiencing like colds or flu. But your voice is something unique that has its own health needs, and as a podcaster, you should be aware of them. When you start podcasting as a marketing channel for your business, you're often not coming from a background where your voice is seen as a tool that needs to be cared for, like a singer or a professional speaker. But it is, and you should be making it a priority. And it's not just about how you sound in the recordings, although that is important. It's about preventing vocal strain, improving the longevity of your voice, and having more control over how you sound. These are all things that I learned in my first conversation with today's guest, who joined us for a strategy and networking call and totally changed how I think about my most important tool as a podcaster. I'm Megan Doherty, co-founder of One Stone Creative and podcastingforbusiness.com. This is The Company Show, a podcast for when podcasting is just part of the job. Today, I'm sharing with you the training that Brianne Hennessy, a licensed speech-voice pathologist and the founder of Your Vocal Vitality, gave us in our strategy and networking call back in the spring. She's teaching us how voice care is self-care and the mindset shift that you need to make about it. She talks about what voice triage is and how to actually improve your recovery when you do have vocal difficulties. And she's also sharing some practical tips for preparing your voice before an interview, including a vocal exercise I experimented with live on the call. This training was originally delivered live and had a video component, which we are making available to you. If you'd like to watch, you'll find the video on podcastingforbusiness.com/82. I think you're really going to enjoy this. There's a lot of really valuable, useful information that you can start applying right now to improve the health of your voice and the overall sound of your show. Hello, and welcome to this month's strategy and networking call, all about protecting your vocal health. As always, I'm your host, Megan Doherty, and I'm so excited to have the guest expert with us this month that we have. Brianne Hennessy is a vocal empowerment guide. She'll be able to help me speak a little more eloquently in the future, and is the principal at Your Vocal Vitality and does all sorts of work helping with presentation, with speaking, with feeling comfortable, with feeling empowered. And she has an amazing workshop for us today. So Brianne, thank you so much. Could you just give us a little who you are, and we'll do a roundtable of everyone who's in the room with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you, Megan, for having me here and for advocating for your folks. I love that. I am Brianne Hennessy. As she mentioned, my pronouns are she, her, and hers. And I am really on a mission to ensure that this instrument is taken care of proactively and preventively. My background, which I'll get into a little bit in the presentation, is as a speech voice pathologist. So in the realm of turning my mission into preventative proactive, I actually left that career in September 2020. Great time to leave a career, let me tell you. And then start my own journey. And it's been incredible ever since. So I'm just grateful to be here and provide anything of value to you all today.
Well, Brianne, I'm going to now turn the stage over to you. I know you've got amazing content for us, and I cannot wait to learn from it.
So you all here because you are interested in podcasting, currently podcasting, have been podcasting for years. And as pointed out, not often is the one of the most important assets that you need to do said podcasting talked about in a way that really looks at the wellness and health and care. So that is our goal today, protecting your voice health while podcasting. When you think back, have you ever lost your voice? Have you had a singular incident for any reason? Have you had multiple incidences? Do you know someone who struggles with their voice? And if so, in that situation, what did you do? Were you able to take off work or adjust your schedule? Did you have to keep pushing through and just talk and get things done? Is it something where you wake up assuming your voice will be there for you in the way that you expect it to? And if so, you're not alone. A lot of people take their voice for granted until something changes, until something starts to shift in the quality or the feeling or the performance of it that makes them start to worry and second guess, will my voice do what I need it to do? Are there times where you've ever been misunderstood? When we think about communication breakdowns, one of the most common things is being misunderstood because of tone of voice. They didn't like the tone of voice. They thought that you should be communicating in a way that only worked for them, and that can really start to degrade the communication interaction. That can also create a sense of nervousness and stress when having harder conversations, asserting yourself. And if your tone of voice doesn't match what you're trying to say, that can really impact the listener. And of course, we always have the component of bias in our society. And unfortunately, there is a lot of bias against voices. Have you been ridiculed because of the sound of your voice? Have you been told that you need to sound a certain way because you're too shrill, too brash, too high, too low? Or even, are you a woman who has tried to change her voice in order to match some version of authoritative matching peer interaction to make sure that you are heard? If so, you're not alone. That is really all too common and something that weaves into how our voice can carry so much presence and power, and how it can also be out of alignment and not resonate when it's meant to. Are there times where you yourself have finished recording a guest speaker engagement or starting your podcast and wanting to edit your recordings, and you listen back and you feel like, oh, okay, don't really hear the sound of my voice the way I thought I would. And maybe if I just change it to this, this will be more like I'm supposed to sound. Or maybe if I really get a little bit softer and kind of bring my volume down, that will sound more pleasing. Ultimately, not feeling quite like yourself. Or maybe there's times where you literally hear your voice and this happens. You criticize yourself. You have that little mind chatter internally saying, oh, no, this is, no, I do not like the way that sounds. I've had too many people tell me they actually use the word hate with the sound of their voice and they hate the way it sounds. And my question to you is, how can you hate the very thing that you're using to communicate your message with the world? So welcome today. I'm so glad you're here. As we alluded to a little bit in the intro, why I'm here is because this mission became very important to me over the years that I spent in voice clinics around the country, assessing and rehabilitating thousands of different types of voices, people who had already gotten to the point that they had to seek specialty medical care. And in that time, a lot of things I would hear is, I didn't know I could take care of my voice. Why me? Why now? I'm 40, 50, 60 something years old. Why is this happening? And so there's a big gap and lack of preventative wellness when it comes to the speaking voice. Most people think of voice and think, oh, well, singing, but I don't sing. That's okay. Most singers need help with their speaking voice as well because we use it the most out of all the things we do in communicating as humans. Now, this used to be my day job. As part of the assessment, we would look and scope, be able to see this lovely instrument inside. We're going to see one little picture today. Okay. For those of you who are queasy, this is your reminder to look away if you need. And in 2019, I started my mission at Your Vocal Vitality, really looking to up-level the health and well-being of the voice, both the physical component and our intuitive inner voice, that knowing that when they resonate, we show up and speak as our truest self. I have been so, so blessed to be a guest in over 50 different types of speaking engagements, and I'm just so glad, again, that Megan has brought forth such a powerful and lesser known aspect of this industry. So a little Q&A. Now, do you know where your voice is located? The voice is in the neck of the organ called the larynx, specifically right at the Adam's apple. So if you put your finger right at that notch and you swallow, it'll bob up and down. Okay. But that notch is the Adam's apple, usually a little less prominent than in women than in men. And the vocal folds sit right behind that. So they're in a V shape, okay? And the front is the point of the V, and they're opening and closing. They're open because you're breathing. For me, they're closing hundreds of times a second because I'm talking. Now, what creates the sound? I kind of just gave a little clue. What do y'all think?
Air going through the vocal cords?
We need air to make the vocal folds vibrate. And yes, the vocal folds themselves, the actual vibration, them colliding hundreds and thousands of times a second, is what makes a sound. Now, is the larynx, the voice box, primarily for voicing and for speaking? So interestingly, biologically speaking, it is to protect our airway from things going down the wrong way. How many of you have choked or coughed on something when you're like, nope, that is not the right tube? So the food pipe and the windpipe, the esophagus and the trachea, they share a wall. They back up right to each other. So evolutionarily speaking, we got this bonus of being able to evolve and communicate with all these gymnastics we do to speak. But all really the larynx and the brain care about is that nothing gets into our lungs. So that's why it can close when we cough. It can close up to make sure that when we swallow, we are safe. What do you think makes each voice unique?
You know, I've never thought about that before. I have no idea.
Okay. That is okay. We've hit on one thing. It's partially the vocal folds making the sound. But interestingly, if that air and sound, when combined, don't have anything to travel through, it's just a buzz. So once we put our unique shapes of our head and neck on top, we can elicit our unique sound. And so that's why we can each sound different. When we speak or sing, do we do so on the exhale or on the inhale? What do you think? You can try it. Oh, good one. Megan. Sometimes people are like, yeah, okay, I'm going to try it. Yeah. Testing it out. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. On the exhale. And it's not meant to be a trick question, but purely because we want to be attuned to how we're optimizing the system. And I did have some folks over the years, based on some injuries that they had, that had to start speaking on the inhale, which would sound like this. So it's possible, but exhausting and challenging in its own right. So you hit on the three systems that make up our ability to create the sound that we do. We need to have the power support of the breath. We need to have the sound source coming from the vibration of the vocal folds. And we need to have that filter resonating that sound in whatever way that we can that sounds most naturally like us. So these are just, again, some fun anchors for anatomical reference, okay? That these are a lot of components coming together to create what we can do each and every day. This image I particularly love, when it's all put together, these are sound waves. We have actual vibration and energetic waves coming out. But if you notice, the sound isn't just going unidirectional. It's also reflecting back in. And this is important because as these spaces are amplifying or dampening the sound, we can manipulate it to our benefit to ensure that we're using it in the most optimal way. And so that's what I really think is cool about our system. And that's one of the things I want y'all to be able to recognize today, that your voice has lots of capabilities and it's just a matter of harnessing that natural sound to you. All right, so here's anatomy, okay? These are vocal folds. Yes, sometimes people think the body is reduplicative and I'm okay with that. People usually feel a little like, whoa, when they see this. But I think it's important because think of any other instrument in the world. We can see it. We can touch it. We can take it apart. This instrument lives in the dark in our neck. And so the fact that we can look and see, we can check out how it's anatomically functioning. These white structures here are the vocal folds themselves. They come together to make the sound. Down the hatch there is the trachea. And like I said, the point, the V portion is towards the front of the body. So way that the camera is oriented. And they open in the back as the person is breathing. Now, we're going to look at them vibrating. This is important because when we see vibration, it actually vibrates too fast for the naked eye to appreciate. We need to use something called a strobe light, like a strobe light on a dance floor, that is going to slow down the motion so that you can see simulated slow motion of vibration. So they're floppy, okay? They need to be. If they were stiff or scarred, or if there were lumps or bumps on there, that would impact the vibration and thus the sound would change. They are coming together at that pitch about 210 times a second. Now, high pitch, this is closer to about 500 times a second they're vibrating. That's closer to about 700 times a second they're vibrating. That's every single day, whether you're speaking, singing, whatever it is, this is high impact. Okay, so a lot of stress strain. Fun fact, you also got to know me really well because those are my vocal folds. You're welcome. Now, when we think of this athletic endeavor that is speaking, most of us don't take a lot of time to think about it until something does go wrong. So we won't go into all the nitty-gritty of pathology, but I want to kind of touch on some shifts or changes to be aware of should you have concerns or questions. So one thing would be a quality change. If you've ever had that hoarseness or scratchiness, the voice is cutting in and out, and that's lasted for longer than 2 weeks, that is a concern. You would need to speak for sure to someone like me or to another specialist in a voice clinic. In the meantime, if that's happening, but it's intermittent, that's still not normal. Okay. The voice wants to work optimally Sometimes we just get in the way of it. We don't mean to. It's just kind of human nature. If you're experiencing fatigue with voicing. So I just spoke with a woman the other day. After 1 hour of lecturing, she's already vocally fatigued. That is not normal. Okay. And that is something that needs to be addressed as well. So that's when you would say, okay, Brianne, what are we going to do about this? Because this is something that is going to impact how much you're able to do in a given day. The other thing that some folks notice, depending on what they're doing, is they go to laugh, or maybe they are playing around and their voice goes to higher pitch, but the pitch doesn't come out. There's just no sound, or there's a crack. That's also a sign that something may be going on. And so again, it's important to have that screened and listened to. I do free voice health screenings because it's important to kind of sense what is my normal and what is not, and what is my baseline. The other thing is frequent throat clearing. How many of you either are or know someone who you're like, if they throat clear one more time? Yes, there are people either myself or in my life. So if you're throat clearing here and there, fine. Remember what we talked about. Evolutionarily, that's kind of clear out whatever's not meant to be in your airway. But if it's a constant or you're doing it to start talking, I hear that a lot, even for podcasters who've been doing this for a long time, and then they start talking, that's actually your vocal folds telling you as a signal that something is not quite right. They shouldn't need that to get going. But people are like, I'm just starting my voice. I'm jump starting my voice. So excess throat clearing can be a sign to watch out for as well. And these are all signals. Our voice, I believe, is a barometer for our whole body and our wellness. And so when you listen to it and kind of gauge where you're at, it can make such a world of difference. So there's different things that can impact those symptoms that I mentioned. Sometimes it's just how much you have going on with your voice. If you have to talk a lot, if you have to talk over noise, if you have kids and you holler room to room in the house, if you are speaking, doing a presentation, but not using a microphone, if you talk loud just because that's your personality, but at the same time, don't necessarily have kind of the other end of the spectrum of kind of having some rest or quieter times, all of that can make a difference in how much the voice can handle. This is a very resilient instrument. It's just not invincible. So with that, the term for you all is a vocal athlete. As a vocal athlete, you are running this vocal marathon every day. No marathon runner would get up off the couch and be like, today's the day I'm going to run a marathon. There has to be that conditioning and training, and any athlete in their sport will tell you that that is just an inherent part of how they keep their peak performance every single day. And so again, most people think of this for singing. It doesn't just fall to singers. This is something that we do so often, and especially in this time now of both virtual and live and podcasting and batch recording, there's so much that we can do to increase our voice use, and we can do it. We just need to do it in a really smart, strategic, and healthy way. So let's jump into some tips. Now, Megan is going to send y'all a free gift that I have that is going to outline all the tips. Okay. I wanted to go over a couple though right now. And yes, you'll see me continuing to sip. I would like to normalize sipping during your podcast. Sipping. Thank you, Megan. Sipping during lives. I can't even tell you, especially like hashtag 2020 and on, people would do lives for like 2 hours and not take a single drink. And I was like, what is happening right now? So it is okay to pause and sip. So when we think of hydration, most of you probably have a pretty set amount in your head. Oh, if I drink 8 glasses of water a day, that'll be plenty. Maybe. Everybody's unique. Every situation is unique, and there's environmental factors. There's medication factors. Some medications have drying side effects. And there's also just use factors. If you're talking a lot, you're going to dry out more. So when you're looking at your water amount, I want you to base it first on half your body weight in ounces as a starting point. Okay. I know some of you are like, I'm sorry, what? I promise. It's going to seem like a shift, but ease into it. Yes, it's okay to have to go to the bathroom more, let the toxins out. And at the same time, you can adjust based on what you're doing, but you'll notice if you're feeling thirst or even that sense of dry mouth outside of any other medical issue, that's already you being on the underhydrated side. Okay. So definitely look at your hydration amount with water. The second thing that's often overlooked is what we need to get from a surface hydration standpoint. This would be like putting lotion on our skin. So if you notice, wow, I feel great after a steamy shower, or I do the old school boil water, put the towel over the head, breathe in the steam. Awesome. That's incredible. That's going to be really helpful for the surface tissue that does need some more immediate hydration. The other thing that you'll see in the gift handout that Megan will send you guys the link for is a device like this, for example. This is one of many, but I do love this one. This is a little portable nebulizer called the Vocal Mist. So while you can see on here, there's facial steamers and different things, this is really cool because it's portable, rechargeable, and you're literally getting mist that is designed to impact and stay within the larynx, not just disappear into the mouth or into the lungs and not help. So that I really like for podcasters. I had a couple clients who were also regular podcasters and they would do it before recording and after recording. The fatigue level and the consistency in their sound was so much better even after something simple like that. So again, when we look at just what are the things to keep an eye for, and if you're ever unsure, just let me know, okay? Because it's important to, again, calibrate to what your voice needs, but do your triage. There are things that you can do to make sure that you're not pushing through the voice, because it's a very slippery slope to say, it'll get better. It's still a little scratchy. I'll just do one more recording. I'll just do that one more phone call. But that's not always that true threshold of what it's capable of until you wake up the next morning and you're like, oh, now I overdid it. Okay. So always kind of look kind of strategically ahead at your week. And there are some things that you can do very simply, even in a week. If you look at your week and you're like, ooh, this is a tight week and I want to get these recordings in and I have these other events that I have to do, it may be a factor of just sprinkling in more voice rest time. Voice rest alone will not cut it, because this voice, like an athlete, needs to be conditioned. So again, no athlete's going to be like, well, I really have to get ready for the next season, so I'll just rest. No. So these are the things you can do, though, sprinkling in little kind of voice naps between, if you're recording a lot between episodes, if you are speaking with clients or potential clients or family, or, you know, again, in background noise, it's important to just notice, am I resting my voice at intervals? And am I making sure not to over project, even with the microphone right here, just because I feel like I need to be heard? So monitoring even just the voice volume can make a huge difference. Let the mic do the work for you. Your mic is there to support you. So the other piece to the tips that you'll see in there is, I'm going to presume from prior folks that I've worked with in podcasting and voiceover that phlegm is an issue for some of you. We all have it. Mucus and phlegm. It's a thing. So some of those tips will go through as well, the importance of how the hydration is going to help phlegm, but also things like lemon in your water can help, because the tartness is going to activate the salivary glands, which will cut through some of that thickness, that cotton mouth feeling. It's usually more important for voiceover artists not to have that like moist mouth sound, not so much necessarily for podcast hosts, but knowing that you're already feeling sticky and thick in there means that you need to hydrate at least 24 hours before more. And having that lemon can help really cut through. That's the other thing I like about the nebulizer in particular. If you have phlegm from allergies, if you have sinus things going on and you are doing nasal rinses and gargling salt water, that's all going to flush that stuff through that wants to otherwise kind of hang out and disrupt the flow. Okay. All right. So then the final thing, when we are looking at what is important, even beginning of your day, but certainly before you sit down to record, whether you're solo or whether you are interviewing in your style of podcast, is warming up. Again, this is not just for singers. Warming up your speaking voice means that you are showing it where it can optimally be. You are improving the quality of the sound, which we go back to that bias. And unfortunately, even radio hosts, journalists, et cetera, a lot of folks are here. They kind of live in this space when they talk. They don't always start there, but maybe it kind of drops down a little bit. This is called glottal fry. Now, for some people, this is no big deal. For others, they want to turn it off immediately and they will not be tuned back in. Okay. Now, that's something that even for you as the speaker can get fatiguing if you're stuck there for too long. The other thing that I see a lot is the monotonicity. So either too monotone in volume, too monotone in pitch. And that's just not as engaging for the listener, which is important. This is your audience you're trying to reach and captivate. But for you too, if your voice is kind of stuck here in this kind of space and you're just kind of living in the same zone all the time, that's putting like this dampening effect on your whole expressiveness. That's going to be fatiguing and potentially get things out of whack with how your voice can best work. And so in those examples, I'm sure, again, we usually know someone who maybe sounds like that. Or if you notice your voice kind of hanging out in those modes, warm-ups can be a great way to play with that. So I thought in these last few moments, if we're still good, Megan, we could do just a brief little warm-up. Are you guys open to that?
I was going to ask if we could do exactly that. So bring it on.
Mind melding. Okay, great. So first thing I want you to do, find yourself in a comfortable seat, because as you can see here, to me, voice is not just here in the neck. It's a whole body endeavor. And so we're going to actually use the sound like a hum. Okay. But first we're going to use it to become very present. So I'd love for you, if you're open to it, close your eyes for a moment, tuning into your breath, noticing your body, sitting in the seat where you find yourself, relaxing the jaw, the tongue, the forehead, breathing low into the torso, into the hips, grounding through the feet. And now when you're ready, I want you to use the hum like a slide down. So it'll sound like this. Very gentle and deliberate when you're ready. You're going to do this 4 more times, each time tuning in to the presence of the sound, noticing if maybe it even tingles or vibrates, maybe through the face, the lips, feels open and spacious through the throat. You are priming your voice and your breath to be very present, calming down the body. We want to speak from a place that feels calm and grounded, even when we're excited about what we're talking about, and not be in the sympathetic nervous system of fight or flight or freeze nervousness. Now, once you've connected in that way, now we're going to play with the hum to really start to vary the pitch and stretch it like you would stretch a muscle in the body. So I want you to use it up and down. Give that a try.
Let me give that a shot with mic on.
Fair. Sometimes it helps to hear, other people.
All right, let me know if I've got this.
Yeah. Ooh, I see Leatra focused in on it. Good job. Again. You are literally stretching and contracting, releasing any of that tension and making sure that it's almost like a cross training. You aren't going to talk way up here. That's not the point. But the point is you're able to really play with the dynamics of your voice. Okay. Now I want you to bring that in a final warm up. And again, these are, you're going to do, we would stretch out if we had the time, but you're going to do like 10 reps of each. The final warm up, I want you to use that glide and find yourself in what would be like a sweet spot, like a home base where you're like, ooh, that sounds good. That feels good. So for example, like right here today, that feels good for me. You each find your own. Okay. And everybody listening, pause if you need to, so that you can find your sweet spot. Give yourself a moment to toggle around. So give it a try. Okay. Go for it. Ooh, yes. Megan's here.
Yeah, there.
Close. Yeah. You found yours, didn't you? Okay. Now, Megan, since yours is audible, did you also feel anything like a tingle, a buzz, kind of a like a sensation to it, because you knew and your body already knew where to live.
Yeah. You know, when you have like a really satisfying bite of food, it felt like that, but in my throat, which was odd.
In your voice production. Yeah. So I asked because that sound, remember how we saw that image of the sound waves coming forward? That sound is vibrating these tissues up here. Huh. And when you're doing that, it is that resonance and that presence and that amplification naturally without it just being stuck in the throat. Okay. Or pressurized here. Beautiful job. Okay. So 10 reps of each is great. Again, very simple, but importance of timing before, especially an episode, after an episode recording, that is going to be really crucial, because you want your voice to feel good. You want your listeners to lean in and enjoy that component of your communication as well. And I think warm-ups are something that, again, are often overlooked or thought of as, well, my voice already sounds good today. But again, you want to be at your peak performance because of all the things that you do with this instrument each and every day. All right.
So when you kind of find that sweet spot, is that what you can think about as your baseline? So like, this is where you want to keep it. And then you kind of play off of that with different tones and the sounds that you're using to make it so that you're not, you know, monotone. as you're speaking throughout your episode, but you kind of tap into this is your baseline. Is that kind of the thought process behind that final part of the exercise?
Absolutely. Okay. A home base that you are then weaving and working around, because you wouldn't want to just live there. So even if I was, that feels really good, but of course I'm not going to talk there like this, mm-hmm. but at least I have that sense of this is where my voice is versus, but then I start talking here and I'm like, well, that's not the same, or it feels and sounds okay, but this feels a lot better. So it's like you're jumping off of it. If you thought of it too, Leatra, an easy way is like a springboard. So for example, let's say you find your sweet spot. Would you be open to showing me your sweet spot?
I'm going to be honest. I don't know if I'm
not sure yet. You can play with, that's fine. But when you find it, you'll be able to sense it both in sound and in feeling. 1, 2, 3. Doesn't matter. You could say days of the week. You could say anything, mm-hmm. but you're jumpstarting it off of that space, because exactly to your point, that is a home base that is feeling good, is like an anchor point that then, you know, you can not only play with and talk around, but you can come back to it when you're at the end of a recording or end of a conversation and like, ooh, yeah, I need to give my voice a little bit of a cool down and a spot that feels really good. And you're right back there.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Yeah. I love that. That's great. Thank you.
Yeah. You're great question. I love that question. Thank you. Awesome. So that is kind of the overview of what I wanted to give y'all today. And your voice matters. That's why you're here. That's why you are putting your creativity out into the world in podcast form and any other form. And I just hope that you now see this instrument as such a crucial part of allowing your podcast to shine even more. So thank you, Megan, for this opportunity. Thank you, Leatra, and those of you here. I am so, so grateful.
Man, this was awesome.
Oh, good. So
glad. And it's not every day you get to learn a new word. I did not know the word nebulizer. And now I do. And now I think I'm going to start sending one to new clients when they sign with us. It's like a welcome gift, because amazing.
Oh, yeah, it's so crucial. It's one of those things that I've tried a lot of them. That's why I like the Vocalmist. And full disclosure, because I think transparency is important, the link in there is my affiliate link, just for y'all who do decide to get them. But it's one of those things that most people think, if they had heard the word nebulizer, they think of asthma, because a lot of folks with asthma do need to nebulize their medication. But again, that is tailored to getting to the lungs. The nebulized saline bullet that comes with the Vocalmist is exactly what the larynx needs to get that moisture. Oh, y'all, it's such, when you start to feel a scratch in your throat, like with a cold, it's so lovely. I've done it for years, but I do it also while doing the humming. I'm like, I'm going to double up.
I've got some questions that I'm hoping you can answer. And this was just so interesting. I feel like I learned so much. I've never done that kind of vocal exercise before. And nor have I ever told our clients that they should do this. So I'm excited to be able to add this now to how we're working with people and serving people, because I think this is really important. Thank you so much for filling these gaps. I know that I've had in my knowledge, and I think probably many of us watching have had. So just delightful. And I had a question about dairy.
Yes.
Because I've often heard, you know, on a recording day, if you really need to sound great, my business partner is a broadcast radio expert, and she has always said, don't have dairy, it makes you mucousy. What's actually going on with dairy? Like, if I have cream in my coffee before recording, or a glass of milk in my cereal, what's the deal?
That's a great question. So I get this a lot. It is one of the myths, interestingly, out there about how it impacts the voice. So dairy itself is going to depend on, of course, the person, especially those who are intolerant. They're going to have different reactions to it. Ultimately, the ingredients or components of dairy are what can activate some of that thickness and that feeling of cotton mouth. So not everybody experiences that. It's the fact that that's why people say not on the day of or just before, because they're going to feel it kind of in the mouth and the throat area. Unless you're sensitive to dairy, again, it's going to take a while, hours to digest. So it's not necessarily related directly to digestion, unless it triggers reflux, acid reflux coming up. And if it comes up to the level of the throat, that can cause irritation, which then can change how you're trying to sound and speak. So going back to, can you have dairy on the day of or not? You got to play with it. It's up to you, because sometimes it'll make zero difference. If it does make a difference, grab that lemon water, get that and start swishing, spitting that out, get that cleared out. Cause that's, again, it's just some of the proteins and components in dairy that's going to thicken the mucus that's there. That's the biggest issue with it. Okay. And remember, nothing you swallow touches your vocal folds. So if you're like, I don't do dairy the day I record or speak, but I definitely do extra virgin olive oil. People legit do that. Does nothing. Not touching the vocal folds. Please, please no. Don't let that happen. But it's also very anecdotal, right? It's just going to feel soothing to some people. Does other people feel like nothing? So that's where I really go back to. This has to be these multifactorial components. And again, why you can do those things all day, but if you're not actively doing something like a warm-up, like the physicality that your voice requires, it just won't matter.
So interesting.
Yeah.
I had another question, and let me know if this is kind of within scope or a little getting outside of it, but I was thinking about kind of like vocal tics or mannerisms. So sometimes when I'm listening to my own recordings, which is of course hell, I notice sometimes when I'm having a conversation, I will almost have a nervous laugh. That I don't plan to laugh at a given moment. And sometimes it does make me feel a little awkward. It's even been pointed out at times. Is that the kind of thing that one just learns to live with? Or can work be done to change those sort of vocal mannerisms if someone isn't comfortable with them?
I love that question, Megan. And thank you for being so transparent about that too, with your own with your own voice. So yes, that is something that absolutely can be shifted and transformed. A lot of times it can be related to nervousness. And we go back to how do we truly connect with and activate the parasympathetic nervous system? So that's our rest, digest, relax state, and make sure that we're feeling the most comfortable first and foremost. But also, if we're more disconnected from our body and our breath in that moment, we're up here. And I tend in general to find this more with fast talkers and people who feel like they want to get their message out and they better do it and make sure it's like, go, 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 go. Sometimes even just understanding and respecting the power of the pause can be really helpful for both you and the listener. As for the nervous laugh, yes, that can be foundationally addressed first by preparing and priming for the nervousness. But also, if that's something that comes up because of whatever's being talked about or the moment or just how you're truly feeling and you're expressing that, that's okay. That's okay. It's your voice showing who you are and trying to be as honest and authentic as you can be. And if you're able to then say, oh, yep, I notice, and this is what I'm feeling underneath that, and transmute that into something else you want to say about it, or just know for yourself that like, okay, cool. That's how I was feeling. Good to know. That's you being you. We didn't get into it as much today, but that's where the intuitive voice and the alignment with what is your body embodying when you speak makes this go to depths that people are always just like astounded with. This is not just voice exercises that I do, even though that's what y'all mostly saw today. So thank you, Megan, for that question, because it's one of those things that I never want anyone to change who they are and how they express themselves. I want them to step into who they are becoming and the potential that that voice and speaking power holds for them.
I love it. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. Lietra, do you have any questions for Brianne before we sign off?
Yes. So I did not anticipate this talk being so empowering. I appreciate that question as well, Megan, because I think that there's a lot within our voices that we're just like, oh, this is just how we speak. This is just who we are. And I think there's an authenticity to that. And I think that there's, you know, especially as hosts, the connection and kind of character that people are connecting with and when they're listening to your shows is a lot of that is just authenticity, you know, that they find endearing and that they build connection with. But thinking about the practicality and logistics of, oh, no, there are ways for you to kind of hone in on the concept of being a vocal athlete. Like, I think that's something that I wrote down and took some notes under because I think that that's really a different way for me to think about what it is to be a host. These are our tools. These are the ways that we can strengthen our tools and continue to improve. And I think that's just a great concept and nugget that I'll carry with me in my own work. So I really appreciate that. So to that point, are there, and this may be in some of the tools that you gifted us with, and thank you for that. Is there like a best practice around using and incorporating the oral lubricants, the nebulizers, the steaming, like, is that something you should do once every couple of days, once a week, daily? is there a best practice for how one fits that into their regimen?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought this up, Leatra, and thank you for those kind words earlier too. I'm so glad this is serving you. And yes, you'll see all the tips. Most of us are overachievers in this world. Don't do all the tips at once. First, starting there, pick a couple that you are like, oh, yeah, I want to try that. I could maybe do a little bit better with that. I look at it as anything relative to like a health and wellness routine. So you get up and brush your teeth every day, you get up and add this to something you already do pretty habitually that mm-hmm. serves your well-being. So this can be maybe a segment of 2 weeks that I encourage you to make a shift, choose that you're going to do it every day. Anything less than even once a day with some of these more concrete things, like for example, if you were to do the vocal mist, and you'll see, I did a YouTube how-to tutorial on it too. That's something once a day is plenty to start with. But if there are times where it needs to uptick, then maybe you do twice a day. But things like hydration, yes, please be hydrating every day. Things like soothing the throat. I have a client right now and she's created kind of her morning routine to soothe her throat, feeling good, what feels good. She just discovered, for example, that hot water, honey, and lemon can be really soothing, even when there's not yet like a sore throat sensation. But she discovered that honey in the morning for her doesn't feel as good to her as just doing the hot water and lemon, for example. So she adds that later in the day. You see what I mean? So I'd love for you to explore it, but give yourself some parameters of, I want to change one or two things at most and try it for the next couple weeks and then go from there. I think the biggest thing is when you start to notice a shift, it may be pretty subtle. Most people go, it wasn't until I stopped doing it that I noticed that it actually helped. That's really common with voice. And I think that's just because similar to other parts of our body, like when we're starting a new workout regimen, mm-hmm. sometimes we don't actually see the changes until we've stopped for a period of time. Does that help?
As a person, absolutely. As a person with just regular sinus issues and the changing mm-hmm. of the seasons, I think, you know, figuring out my personal best practices yes. with all of these tools, I'll start to see the benefits.
Yeah, with sinus things yeah. too. And that is, I'm happy, like that's the nice thing about jumping on a call anytime. They're easy to kind of talk through. With sinus stuff, it is so individual. If you do you do the saline rinses, Leatra? Do you mind if I ask? Great. Mm-hmm. Again, don't overdo those because those can be drying if you overdo them. So those I usually recommend folks to do like a few times a week, unless allergy season's really wreaking havoc on them versus too excessively. So yes, that's where maybe just trying one or two of the things, because anything that you're soothing up here is going to have a downstream positive effect mm-hmm. into the throat, as you know. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Great questions.
Marvelous. Well, Brian, thank you again so much. This was great. I learned so much. Everyone has also just learned a whole bunch and taken a page of notes. Thank you, everyone who is here today. Leatra, Brianne, this has been so nice. And I'll catch you all next time. Thank you again. I just loved this training, the detail that Brianne went into, and just the deep education and knowledge that went into it, and her just generosity in sharing it with us. The conversation we had afterwards was also incredibly interesting. I hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we all enjoyed having it. I've made some changes to my own recording preparation based on it, and I'm going to start making it recommendations when we start working with newer podcasters. So remember, you can watch the video of the training portion and see that absolutely wild video of vocal cords in action at podcastingforbusiness.com/82. Link will, of course, also be in the show notes. So if you'd like to attend these strategy and networking calls, I would love to see you there to learn from experts, get your personal podcasting issues sorted, and network with other professionals that podcast. You can find all of the details and register for free at podcastingforbusiness.com. Next week, I'm excited to share another Podcasting for Business case study with you. Heather Gray is the host of The Lime Boss and is doing some amazing things optimizing for multiple different revenue and opportunity streams with her podcast. I particularly like her affiliate marketing strategy and approach. Here's a quick preview.
Now I'm seeing these affiliate marketers, these influencers, and I'm like, well, shit, I can do that too. So I kind of learned from watching and was like, hey, how did you do that? Oh, I set up an affiliate account. Well, how do you do that? Go to their website, go to the very bottom. It usually says affiliate links, you know? It's sad because I see some people like poo-pooing, like, I'm not making money off of this and blah, 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 blah. I don't really think that there's a problem with that. Like I said, if it's something tried and true, sadly, especially in the way of like famous people, right? There's no way in hell Eva Longoria is coloring her hair with preference box color. You know, that's just BS, and we can call that BS. You know, but if you know the person and you trust them and you like them, you know, like I said, everything on my site, I've tried personally. There's not anything I would put up there without passing the test first.
Now, of course, affiliate marketing has an interesting reputation in the internet marketing industry and not always a great one. But it can be a very legitimate method of adding an income stream to your podcast and supporting the products and services that you really believe in. Of course, the well more targeted your podcast is and the more engagement and knowledge you have of your audience, the better this kind of strategy is going to work. So this is going to be a case study not to miss if you're interested in diversifying the monetization options for your podcast. Make sure you're subscribed on your favorite podcast purveyor so you don't miss it. Thank you so much for joining me today. As always, I've been your host, Megan Doherty, and the company show was produced by the whole team at One Stone Creative. If you enjoyed this episode, the best way you can help the show is to share it with a business owner that you think should have a podcast. Until next time.